Good morning, everyone, including people at the back in some cafe chairs. Not ideal, but you're here and we're grateful. Welcome to our Easter Sunday service. I'm hoping you guys are with me when I say He is risen. A risk, you delivered, well done, Jesus indeed. Now, before I forget, kids, there are activity sheets in the entryway foyer, and there's some pens and pencils, maybe even a cheeky rubber or two, who knows. If you're lucky, it's out there, so go and grab one now if you would like one. For everybody else, you know, this is a significant day for us as followers of Jesus. It really is. He's Sunday, Good Friday, Christmas are the three biggest services we have throughout the course of the year. It's a day of celebration and victory, a day of immense hope as we come together to worship the one who set us free. Amen? That Jesus has set us free. We stopped on Good Friday and we remembered the sacrifice that Jesus made and the incredible love that stands behind that. And it's well worth doing. It's a beautiful service. So He who knew no sin became sin, that we might know the righteousness of God. But we don't want to take that for granted, right? That's why we stop and reflect. Remember, we don't want to take that for granted. We don't want to ever move past that. As a church, as followers of Jesus, we know that that truly is significant. It changed everything. So it's not hyperbole for us to say that Jesus' death on the cross is the single most significant event this world has ever seen. That the King of Kings would lay down His life to set us free. That the Creator would take the place of His creation, and in so doing, that He would actually take the sin of the world upon His shoulders. And it's a burden we will never truly understand. The cross changed everything. That's why we stop on Good Friday and we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. And yet here we are on Easter Sunday celebrating the fact that Jesus' story doesn't end at the cross. Kids, I really hope that you understand that. We've got all of our families here this morning celebrating together. It's a beautiful thing. So kids, if you remember nothing else from this morning's message, and let's be honest, you may not, I wouldn't, but that's okay, all right? If you remember nothing else from this morning's message, I want you to remember that Jesus' story doesn't end at the cross. It doesn't end in death. It ends in victory. And that's why we're here this morning. You know, I was listening to a sermon by one of my favorite preachers, Matt Chandler, a little while ago, where he shared this story. He was out on a walk with his family, just wandering around the neighborhood when his little boy, who probably would have been 3 at the time, pipes up and says, "You know, Dad, Jesus died on the cross." It's a kind of heartwarming moment that every parent longs for, right? His eyes lights up. He's thinking to himself, "Oh my goodness, this kid's a genius. He's like a mini Charles Spurgeon, right? I can see the faith coming together. I can see theology starting to form, right? Which means I'm doing an amazing job parenting this child, okay? Because he's just a little genius." And he calls his wife over so that she can hear the same thing. "Come over here, hear what he just said. You know, Jesus died on the cross." And then he decided to do a little bit of digging just to see, you know, how deep those foundations actually went. What else had this little Charles Spurgeon grabbed hold of in his 3 years? And so he asked him, so then what? You know, like, we all know that Jesus died on the cross. It's a beautiful thing. We celebrate that. But then what? And smiling from ear to ear, full of confidence, his son says, well, then the Easter Bunny came and gave everyone chocolate. I mean, come on, Dad. Everyone knows that. We do it every single year, right? It's a story that ends up with an incredibly sad, such a hopeful story, such an incredibly sad ending. I know if you're a parent this morning, you may have a story kind of like that. But I'm going to add a limb and say, I can't get it. I do. Because the truth is that we talk about the cross all the time, and with good reason. It's incredibly significant. What do we start with? The cross changed everything. We talk about the cross all the time. It's incredibly significant. But you know what's just as significant? That we spend almost half, maybe not even that amount of time talking about it. It's the resurrection. It's incredibly significant. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I received what I passed on to you of first importance." He's saying, this is it. This is the heart of the gospel. This is what defines us as followers of Jesus. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And then after that, he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. And then after that, he appeared to more than 500 of our brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. Which is basically saying you can go ask them yourselves whether this is true, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. I'll switch over.
How's that? That's better. All right. And then a little further down, he says, whether then it is I or they, he's talking about Paul as an apostle or the rest of the apostles, whether it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. So Paul is saying that the gospel doesn't end at the cross, that it's the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's what the scriptures attest to. So with his death, he took our place, and so we praise him forever. But in his resurrection, we see his victory. The empty tomb stands as an everlasting symbol of the victory of Christ. Death could not hold him. Satan couldn't touch him. He's alive. That's what we celebrate at Easter. And that changes things. We're not following in the footsteps of a long dead, defeated Savior. That's not what we're doing. No, we serve a King who rules and reigns at the right hand of the Father even now. And so I want to spend a little bit of time unpacking that this morning. What difference does Jesus' resurrection make? What hope does it give us? And I want to start, because I could go in a whole bunch of different directions, right? But I want to start with assurance. So I would say to you, I think the resurrection really is good news, that it is of first importance, not a secondary importance. It is of first importance because it means that Jesus is who he says he is. Well, let's be honest. He made some pretty bold, pretty out there claims. He said to the disciples and other people on many occasions, "I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. And actually, it's okay because on the third day, I'm going to rise again." Spoiler alert, right? Now, if he'd said that and then stayed in the grave, we would know, as C.S. Lewis says, that he is either a lunatic or a liar. It doesn't really matter either way. We would know that he isn't Lord, that he isn't who he says he is. He isn't the Son of God. He isn't the Messiah. That's why Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. It's not a secondary importance. It is of first importance. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, pointless, empty, and you're still in your sins. So nothing validates Jesus' identity, his ministry, his purity, or his authority more than the resurrection. Let me say it again. Nothing validates, nothing proves Jesus' identity, ministry, purity, or authority more than the resurrection. It answers so many of our questions. So was his sacrifice sufficient? That's a legitimate question. Was he the unblemished lamb that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1? Did it work? I mean, that's the obvious question, isn't it? Did he achieve on the cross what he set out to accomplish? Did he actually free us from our sins? Has he really opened up the way for all who believe? Well, we get to Easter Sunday, and I get to say with absolute assurance, yes, that Jesus is who he says he is. That we know it because we look and we see an empty tomb. Jesus is who he says he is. That And I know that his sacrifice was sufficient. I know that I'm forgiven, that it really is finished, because Jesus is alive. Because he's alive, what does it mean? He's not a lunatic. He's not a liar. No, he is who he says he is. The Father proved that to you and me forevermore by accepting his sacrifice on the cross. And then by raising him back to life. Well, that is the seal of the Father, that actually it's done, it's finished. The Father accepts it. And so he raises Jesus back to life. Now, that is such good news for you and me. And then there's the assurance that it gives us around the Scriptures. You know, Jesus fulfilled something like 300 plus different prophecies during his ministry and his lifetime. There's over 25 that he fulfilled just in his death and resurrection. These are prophecies that were given, prophecies that were recorded hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And yet he fulfills every one of them. And it's just this great reminder to us that the Bible is not just a book, not just a collection of sayings, that it is truly the Word of God, that there is power and there is life in this thing. But here's what I say to you, the resurrection isn't there just to affirm the hope we have. It does that, right? It affirms it, gives us this sense of assurance, right? But it's not just there to affirm our hope. I would say to you, actually it's more than that, I would say to you the resurrection is our hope. So when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was saying that both of those things are found in me. So here's the thing, eternal life does not exist apart from Jesus. Doesn't exist. That's why Paul calls him the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. His resurrection is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then it goes on to say, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Well, this is the language the Bible uses again and again and again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Ephesians chapter 2, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So the unmistakable teaching of the New Testament is that eternal life is found in Christ. That the gift cannot be separated from the giver. Death came through Adam, life through Jesus. We receive that gift in him and in him alone. The Apostle John makes that even clearer when he says God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son, make that as clear as possible, whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I hope you can see the distinction. So he's not just saying that Jesus gives us life. That's often the language that we would use, but that's not the language we see in the Scriptures. He's not just saying that Jesus gives us life. He's saying that Jesus is our life. That in the most beautiful and mysterious way that he has joined himself to us, that our destinies are intertwined so that what's true of him is now also true of me and of you. Paul sums it up beautifully when he says, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may have new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. So what's true of him is now true of us in terms of atonement and privilege and blessing. Ephesians 2, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is ours in Christ Jesus. What's true of him is now also true of us. And when you get your head around that, you understand how significant it is then that Jesus' story doesn't end at the cross. It doesn't end in death, it ends in victory and by the grace of God, because he has joined himself to us, so does ours. And we get to share in that. Did we earn that? No. Are we worthy of that? In no way, shape, or form. And yet, he's joined himself to us, and so it is true for us. And so here we are on Easter Sunday, scattered all over the city in dozens of different churches, celebrating the reality that Jesus is alive. That's what today is all about. That the cross wasn't the end of his story. Death couldn't hold him. Satan couldn't touch him. He's alive. And it is the source of our hope, because I'm alive in him. It reminds me of that beautiful song, In Christ Alone. Some of you will know it, some of you may not. The second verse in that song says, In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, the gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin was laid on him. Here in the death of Christ, I live. That's Good Friday, right? That's what we stopped to remember just a couple of days ago. And then we get to verse 3, and we're reminded that, yes, Good Friday is good, but Sunday is coming. Because verse 3 says, there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day up from the grove, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse is lost, it's gripping me, for I am his and he is mine, bought, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. That is a beautiful song. It sums up the hope that we have at Easter. Praise God for the truth of that song. And Jesus is alive. Death couldn't hold him. He's sovereign. Even over death, sovereign. And so in him, death cannot touch us either. You know, in 1968, when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, a lot of people were afraid that the civil rights movement was going to come to kind of an abrupt end, that it would fall apart. And so as you can imagine, his funeral was a pretty pivotal moment for the future of that movement, right, and for the nation itself. And you would probably know millions and millions of people tuned in for his funeral service. Lots of people gave eulogies that day, and some of them were pretty significant, but one of them was by a man named James Bevel. Don't know if you named James Bevel. When his turn came and he got up to share, I think he said something truly significant. He said, you have heard that our leader is dead, but that rumor is false. Our leader is not dead, because our leader is not Martin Luther King. No, our leader is the one who led Moses out of Egypt. Our leader is the one who went down with Daniel into the lion's den. Our leader is the one who walked up out of the grave on Easter Sunday morning. Our leader neither slumbers nor sleeps. Our leader cannot be put in jail. Our leader is still on the job. Our leader is not dead. And so Easter is a movement. There's great hope in that. That it's what we come to celebrate. We come together as one people and we celebrate in the hope and the reality that Jesus is alive. And because he is, so is our hope. That it's not some kind of ethereal hope that's disconnected from him. He is our hope. And so he's alive.
And so is our hope.
I want to finish by leading you in a time of communion. We're going to hand out the elements now. I want you to kind of use this time to reflect on the hope that we have in Jesus. What the enemy thought was his greatest victory was actually the moment of his final defeat. The celebration we have is that actually the cross was God's idea, that it was his plan. And it reveals to us the incredible nature of his heart. So we look at the cross and we know that's someone who's for you. Someone who loves you more than you really understand. And because he's alive, that's someone that you get to walk beside each and every day. He's not some cold, distant being that we believe in but cannot know. No, he's our friend. He's our Father and our King. And he invites us to follow him all the days of our life. In fact, it's more than that. Because even that could be following him at a distance. It's more than that. We are in Christ. You cannot find a more intimate, close relationship. He's not off in the distance somewhere. We are in Christ. So right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to reflect on the incredible nature of that truth. The grace that we've been given. The gift that we've taken hold of. The hope that we have in Jesus. You receive the bread and the juice. You can take the bread whenever you're ready. Hold the cup. We're going to drink together at the end. But let's spend some time reflecting on the sacrifice that Jesus made and the hope that we have and the reality that he is alive.
The bread represents his body, which was broken. The juice, his blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I read you a little passage. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's drink in remembrance of him and in celebration of the victory in your life, which is ours. Father, we bless you on this special Easter Sunday. How grateful we are to know that your story doesn't end in death, it ends in victory. Resurrection life. Because here we stand this morning in that resurrection life. It's life-changing. There's a hope that is found in you that is found nowhere else. And so we thank you, Jesus, for what it is that you achieved on our behalf on the cross. That the great exchange, you took our sin and he gave us life, gave us righteousness. When the Father looks at us, he no longer sees our brokenness, our sin. He sees the perfection, the righteousness of Jesus. It is the great exchange. In so many ways, it feels almost too good to be true. There's got to be some kind of catch, something that we've got to do to earn it. And yet none of that is true. It's given to us as a free gift of grace, given to all who believe. You really have opened up the way, tore the curtain in two. And so here we are this morning as living evidence of the power of grace. Living evidence of the hope and the life that's found in you and you alone. So we thank you, Jesus. We bless you this morning as you have so blessed us. We do the only thing we can. We get on our knees and we say, Jesus, thank you that we bless your holy name together. We bless it this morning. For this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.